Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Andy Baskin.
Yep.
Let's go to the fan hotline. He's Andy's partner on the Browns pregame show. He's mine on the Browns postgame show. He's the pride of Bedford. He's Mr. Tyvus Powell. Hello, Tyvus.
Tyvus!
Gentlemen, how are you two doing this morning?
Yeah.
Wow, you know the good news is?
Yeah.
We have, 12 more games to go, so lock in. Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? Okay, so riddle me this one, my friend. I thought the Browns played a pretty decent game and coached a pretty decent game for three quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, they didn't play very well, offensively or defensively, and I don't think they coached very well. What happened?
To me, it goes back to something that I continue to say. You know, the in-game adjustments is something that's non-existent right now. And I don't know why. You know, I think that, you know, we do a really good job of coming up with a game plan. And for the most part, we dominate our game plan. But it's always in the second half. If you go back and watch, look at our – let's take the last three losses that we've had. A lot of those points were scored in the second half of games. And to me, that tells me that the other team is doing a wonderful job of adjusting, and we are not. So we got to be better with that. Like, that to me is – because yesterday's game was one that was in the bag. You had it won, and you just let that slip away. And, you know, I just feel like good teams just don't do that. You know, you don't find ways to beat yourself, and you don't take your foot off the gas. And I think we did in that second half.
I know what the fans are saying. I wonder if the players are second guessing their coaching from yesterday. You tell me, you've been in those locker rooms.
I mean, the thing is, you always got to, instead of pointing the finger, you always got to pull the thumb, you know. That's the one thing that you have to do is take accountability.
Except for the noise that happens. I don't know. I've seen it keep going. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you it's hard to put the blame on somebody else when you're so busy judging yourself. Like, I missed this play. That play could have been the difference. We know this is a game of inches, so it's not like everybody played perfect. You know, it was other opportunities in the game that led to everybody contributing to this loss. So it's not so much a finger pointing that goes on in the locker room. It's more so like, I didn't play perfect, and this is on me, like, because I should have did this. Like, I'm sure Denzel is thinking, I should have rerouted this corner. I should have rerouted Jordan Addison inside, and that would have stopped everything. Or it could be Isaiah Bond thinking to himself, I got that ball. I shouldn't have signaled first down. I should have gave the ball to the ref. That cost us some seconds. Like, it's different. Everybody got their own thing that they're trying to figure out. Like, okay, this is what I did that contributed to this loss. So it's not so that they're looking at the coaches and saying, like, y'all sold us out, like that type of thing.
What did you like, dislike about the defensive approach on that final drive by the Vikings? Did you like anything?
I mean, I thought it was fine, but it's just player. Justin Jefferson is the reason why he's one of the best receivers in this league, if not the best receiver in this league. I mean, he goes out there, he makes plays. I mean, I think in those situations you wanted more of a double team. You wanted more four eyes on him and, you know, try to make it as difficult as possible. You know, I get that Denzel and G-New are really good cover corners, but when you got to have it and you know that that's the guy that they're looking for, you have to do things to stop them from getting him the ball. You know, you wanted that pass rush to be a little bit better so that maybe he couldn't get down the field, or you wanted that safety to be over the top or something like that. I just think that they should have done a better job of taking him away as an option and making – if Jordan Addison or the Naylor kid makes a play or Hockenson makes a play, you live with that. You feel like you got enough talent that you could be able to compete with that. But Justin Jefferson shouldn't have been the guy that had been able to catch a ball to put them in scoring range.
All right, assess Gabriel from top to bottom here. What we saw yesterday and where you think he can improve for next week and what he did well for his first start.
I gave him like a B plus performance. He did everything that you want. Listen, this is a guy that went across the pond, played in London as a starter, took care of the football, no turnovers, threw two touchdowns, threw for over 190 yards, had a running back that threw for over 100 yards. The defense got two takeaways, and yet we still lost. Like that's usually that what I just told you is a recipe for success, and somehow we found a way to lose. So I don't really put blame Dillon Gabriel at all. I mean, I think that if you look at the game plan, it was very conservative. It was a very conservative approach with him. I think he had – the only thing, if I want to critique him a little bit, what he could do is he could be better on passes over 10 yards. I think he was like 2 of 9 or something like that of passes over 10 yards, and that's not going to get it done. That falls right back into the same thing Joe Flacco was doing, throwing these dink and dunks and not getting the ball down the field. And I just think that's where our offense is lacking right now. We don't have that explosiveness. And that's why we're being figured out so well. People's like, oh, well, they're not going to throw the ball over 10 yards. All right, well, let's clutter everything under 10 yards and rally and be able to make tackles and be ready to come down and make hits. Like, that's pretty much what's going on. Unless you got athletes that's making guys miss, which we don't, then it's not going to be big gains on these plays. So at some point, the training wheels got to come off. We have to find a way to expand this playbook to being able to push the ball down the field. And that starts with Kevin and the play calling, and that also goes with Dillon being able to make those passes.
Were they conservative because it was his first start, you think, or were they just conservative?
Yeah, I believe so. The thing about what Kevin is doing with Shadur and Dillon is he's taking all the heat for it. But he's really trying his best to put them in the best spot, you know, not give them too much to succeed, try to see how much they can handle in the game. And so far they've done a great job of doing that. But now it's like, all right, let's keep expanding. Like this next game against Pittsburgh, I better see some balls going down the field, like more than 10 yards. Like that, it's time. Like we're on week 6 now. Like it's time to show, like, all right, for the first 5 weeks, we've been very conservative, been dinking and dunking. All right, let's throw some double moves in there. Let's push the ball down the field, because I think these receivers are eager to do that. You got the reason you brought Isaiah Bond in and gave him this guaranteed contract, it was not to catch 5-yard outs. It wasn't to catch flat routes. That's not the reason why you paid. If that was the case, you could have paid me that money and I would have did it. So you brought him in here because he has that skill set to be able to spread the field. The reason you went and got Jerry Jeudy is because he runs good routes. Let's utilize these things and let's scare some of these defenses to get them to back up, because that will help Quinshon. He's already been a guy. Think about it. Quinshon's been putting over 100 yards and doing the things that he's been doing with a loaded box, because nobody's respecting the passing game, so everybody's cramming the box. And he's still putting this out. Just imagine if that passing attack comes involved. Now you're talking about 6-7-man box, and he's able to do what he's doing. Like that, you would have the best of both worlds. So the next step for this offense is get the ball down the field. We can just do it.
I want to look back at the game one more time yesterday. As you look at the failure that happened, and I think some people want to look at the entire game, some people want to look at the fourth quarter, a lot of people want to look at the last 4 minutes of the game. How do you see it? Like, where was the epic fail? And how do you make it so that you don't fail in those final 4 minutes, that you play all the way through until, you know, 0-0? And that's not, we talk about complimentary football, but the coaching staff's got to be in on that too. That's got to be the fourth estate, I would say.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole thing. They lost that whole thing as a team, as players and coaches. both butchered that fourth quarter. I mean, the first thing that pops up is, I think it was 3rd and 11. I think it was the last time we had the ball before they went down and scored. 3rd and 11. I'm watching it, and they're talking about, oh, worst case scenario, keep the ball in bounds and let's chew some clock. They throw the ball, it's an incompletion. So the clock is stopped. Clock is stopped. And I can't remember at that time how many timeouts the Vikings had. I feel like they might have two or one. It wasn't a lot. And the fact that they didn't keep that clock running, it didn't force the Vikings to call their final timeout. Then they get the ball, and now we're talking about once Justin Jefferson made that catch and got down the field, that's when all the timeouts started to get ripped. And I guess in that point, if you look at it from that standpoint, it's, oh, well, they want to save as much time. They feel the Vikings are going to score at some point, whether it's a field goal or the touchdown. So they want to conserve as much time as possible. To me, how I look at it is, you don't know how people operate. The two-minute drive is, a lot of people would say, arguably, is one of the hardest things to execute in football. And you kind of made it easier on them because it's a lot of chaos that goes on in that two-minute drive. You got things that's happening fast. The clock is running. You got to make quick decisions. When you call that timeout, you're giving them time to think. Now, don't get me wrong. They can still stop the clock. Obviously, spiking the ball stops the clock, but that's one less play that you have to worry about. So I wasn't a huge fan of calling the timeouts. Obviously, you know, hindsight's 20/20. We can say that. But even in that moment, I don't think I would have called the timeouts. I would have trusted that my defense would have been able to get something done. And worst case scenario, I would have at least believed that they would have given up a field goal and we would have went in overtime and we would have just handled it that way.
Tyvus Powell joining us from the Browns Radio Network. We started the show talking about this. We all know how pro sports works. It's been 10 straight games, 17 or fewer points. And this is, you know, in these situations, people often lose their jobs. If they stay the course here, I think it says it's a big picture outlook as to what's going on and thinking more that this might be something that they're building for next year and beyond, Tyvus. Because 17 points or more or fewer in 10 straight games, I mean, that gets people canned.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, the thing is that you just – the way I'm looking at it now, Jeff, is that I'm not – the wins and the losses are what they're going to be. You know, coming into this game, coming into this season, nobody predicted the Browns to win. I think it was like 4.5 or 5.5. It was the lowest win margin or whatever – and from all sports books. So it wasn't like nobody knew the Browns was going to win a bunch of games. The key for me was always the development of the rookies. That was it. When I tune in and watch these games, I am only looking at the young guys because that's what's going to matter. The coaching staff might change. The general manager might change. The people that will be here will be that draft class that just happened. Like, those are the guys that we will be counting on two, three, four, five years from now. And as long as I see those guys continuing to make plays and get better every week, I'm content. The wins and losses is going to be what they're going to be. And I think as a fan base, we have to come to the realization that we knew going into the season that we was optimistic. You know, you want to see good games. You know, if these was blowouts, we'd be singing a totally different tune. But so far, Harold Fanning really good. Quinshon Judkins been really good. Mason Graham, Carson Schwestinger, Dylan Sampson, those guys have contributed and done the things that we wanted to see those guys do, and they've gotten better week to week. I'm hanging my hat on that.
Always a pleasure, sir. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
I'll see you guys next Sunday, bright and early, ready to cheer on this Browns team to beat Pittsburgh.
It's not as early as it was yesterday, so let's let's be honest.
See you, Tyvus.
See y'all later.
Tyvus Powell joining us on the Fan Hotline.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Coming up at 1:30, Kevin Stefanski's press conference. If he says we have to be better, we have to coach better, I think we're all going to lose our lunch. And again,
it's good thing
I like Kevin. He doesn't say much in press conferences. And if he says we have to be better again, I think we're all going to puke. Okay, there.
Jeff, let me tell you this.
Andy, tell me this.
Sports Talk on 92.3 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
The numbers now tell you the Browns have the second best defense in the National Football League in yards against. They're allowing 248 yards per game when you round up.
They added 20 yards yesterday.
The Atlanta Falcons are number one, just 4 yards better at 244. The Houston Texans are third at 266. Do you feel the Browns have the second best defense in the NFL after what you saw yesterday?
I think if they would have held them on that last drive, I would feel like they might have the best. It's still best, second best. Statistically, they were, 222? 0.2, I think, yesterday in yards allowed, and that was number one in the league. Now, you said they were down to 240 or up to 240. So the potential is there. We've obviously seen it. I thought there were times yesterday I was like, wow, they look really, really good. But again, you know, for everyone that's calling for the coach's head on this thing, the defense has to show up at the end. I know 11 seconds. We witnessed it. We all saw it. It was an epic meltdown in the fourth quarter yesterday, and it was on all facets of the ball.
Can I give you another stat?
Even special teams where, you know, you had the one play that went to the goal line and you're like, ah, I mean, you got to make the play. You got to make the play.
Can I give you another stat?
Sure. A good one or a bad one?
You tell me.
Great. Go ahead.
They're second in the NFL in fewest yards allowed per game.
Okay.
They're 21st in points allowed. Those two things don't compute, do they?
Well, they do when your offense hands the ball to the other team and they score against your offense, or your special teams gives up, you know,
24.6 points per game.
So, but how much of that is, well, I don't, even if you give up a touchdown and you hand them the ball at the 1 yard line, it still goes against the defense. So, a little misleading. I'm going to say it's like wins and losses for Major League Baseball. You with me on that? Or now, wins and losses in Major League Baseball is worse. I think it's worse, actually.
For a pitcher?
Yeah, wins and losses don't always mean the pitcher pitched bad.
That's true. I don't know. The defense and the yardage figure is critical. I mean, there's no question. It's a critical number, and they're second in that right now. But in points per game, they're allowing 24.6 points per game. And you're right, Andy. There's a lot more that goes into that than just there's a lot more that goes into that than just the defense. But to me, the best defense is the defense, the team, and I won't just say defense, it's the entire team, that allows the fewest points. The other team doesn't score, they don't win very much.
I don't know where else you go with this thing. I don't know where they're going to take it. The defense, you know, they gave up a bad drive yesterday, and you could say that's why they lost the game. I'm with you on all that. I hear people that want to complain about the coaching. I can't disagree with you either yesterday. I thought the coaching was not good. They didn't coach to win yesterday. They coached to not lose.
I didn't like the play calling offensively, especially in the fourth quarter. I didn't like the conservative approach by the defense, you know, kind of giving a lot of room to the Minnesota Vikings on that last drive. And I didn't like the use of the timeouts. So the fourth quarter to me was just a mess. And that I'm anxious to hear Kevin talk about that today. And I hope he is asked about that by our brethren who might be out there. That would be nice. All I know is this. I would like to be able to say this team is not as bad as its 1-4 record, because yesterday was a game you could have won, and the Cincinnati is the game is a game you could have won. But you are as bad as your record, Andy. If you're a good team, you win a 21-17 game against a team that has three starting offensive linemen out. And if you're a better team, then you beat a Cincinnati Bengal team that was ready to be beaten the other day.
The AFC North is so topsy-turvy right now, that's the other part that hurts. Like, this defense deserves to be fighting for, and I don't care about the last drive, I'm done with it. This defense deserves to be fighting for the top of the AFC North. They do. And I feel like everything else seems to be letting them down.
I would agree with that. Jeff's in North Olmsted. Hello, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, you know, this is why it sucks when the Guardians season ends so abruptly, because now we've got to spend the next couple months talking Browns football. Listen, a couple things from yesterday's game that I thought were, you know, let's start with the positives, I guess. Let's talk a little Quinshon Judkins. First of all, since he's coming into finally getting his reps the past four games, he's averaging 5 yards a carry. And they're against good defenses. I mean, even the Minnesota game, he had 4.8 a carry. 23 attempts, great. Keep giving him the ball to take some pressure off of Dylan. You know, Dylan had some good moments yesterday, sailed some of those longer balls, but that stuff's going to happen. That's okay. Kevin at the end of the game kills me. There was one drive which bothered me even before the end of the game. They're inside the red zone, and Jerome Ford's getting the touches in the red zone. Quinshon's got to be in the game in that spot. So that's one issue.
I thought that too, Jeff.
It's just weird. Why are we going to a third-string back who's barely getting carries in that situation in the red zone? It just didn't
there was
make
at one point I thought Quinshon was hurt. Yesterday,
you know,
maybe
he just needed a breather. He had some big runs, and he was carrying the load. It stinks to see a 57-yard touchdown get called back for holding. I mean, the self-inflicted penalties do fall on Kevin and the coaching staff, right, as well as the players. I mean, there's all facets got to be accountable. But at the end of the game, the clock management, and it's just the same story all the time, guys. And I think from what the perspective of a lot of people is when is Kevin going to be held accountable? You brought up the 17 points a game for what is it now? 10 straight games, Jeff, I thought you said?
You don't want to go back and look at the last 24, when I say 22, they've 18 in the last 22 games, they've had 20 or less points.
It's painful. And it's like, you know, Tybus said, oh, the wins and losses are what they are. I got to disagree with him on that. Jeff or Andy, you brought up a great point. This division is so bad right now that even coming away with that game in Minnesota, you're going to play against Pittsburgh next week. And guess what? If you win that game, you're a game out in the division. I get so tired of hearing those excuses. It's so close and it's so far away with every approach that we take as an organization. And it just drives me insane. We're right there, guys, and they still cannot finish games.
Jeff, thank you very much. I can't argue with that. Needed to finish the Cincy game. You needed to finish yesterday's game. You didn't do it. You could be 3-2 right now. Coulda, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Roman is in Canton in beautiful Stark County, Ohio.
Roman.
What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Well, how are you?
Oh, you know, it's sunny out. It's beautiful. So I'll take that. This is the most uninvested I've been in my entire life in a Browns season. And it's sad because three, four years ago, we were actually on the upswing and we were finally starting to see good football in Cleveland, and it went completely backwards. We can point fingers as to whose fault that was. At the end of the day, I think everything starts at the top, and Kevin, I was a big Kevin proponent. Like, I really liked Kevin and I wanted him to succeed, and just more and more as the seasons go, I just don't know if he's got it in him to keep the locker room together. Now, I'm saying that because he's in charge of the offense. You should say he's the head coach, sure, but he's in charge of the offense. And that's why, you know, I know coaches have called plays in the past and been head coaches, and I understand that. But you, as a head coach, you need to have a vision on the entire game, all facets of the game, all three phases. So his focus being solely on the offense it doesn't sit well with me, especially when the offense is as bad as it's been.
And Roman, that's the catch. That's where, you know, history knowledge tells me, is this the time where something's going to happen? I'll tell you why it might be just the opposite.
Huh.
Coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Might this be a new beginning? I said I'd have it for you next. I'm going to give you that at 1 o'clock. And then at 1:30, we're going to give you Kevin Stefanski, Browns head coach, speaking today after the loss to the Minnesota Vikings yesterday that has everybody frustrated for obvious and good reasons. 21-17 was the final score in a game that the Browns led until 25 seconds to go in the game. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Dan Menigan.
All right, gentlemen, we do a good amount of wallowing on a Monday, right? There's some bad.
We're tired of wallowing.
We are wallowers.
We want to celebrate,
right? And so I've kind of come up with this idea that we're going to give a shot, which is where we're calling it the good, and this is all of the good goofy stuff that has happened between college football and the NFL this weekend.
Oh, good.
And so
I already bought in. I said, oh, yeah. Good.
And so we are going to do our best to be positive. We're going to laugh. We're going to just enjoy everything that comes with it. And if it gets too negative, then we're just going to stop the segment so that you can go back to wallowing, because clearly that's all you want to do to begin with. So that is the goal in this. We will not mention the Browns. We will not mention Baker Mayfield. We will not mention Nick Chubb. We will not play the Wheel of Regret. We will do none of these things inside of this segment. We will do nothing but laugh and have fun. Agreed?
Yes. Let's
all
do
right.
That. Just laughing.
So here we go. We'll come up with better music later. We're doing this slightly on the fly.
Okay, good.
The Miami-Carolina game featured a new play-by-play guy for Miami, Carolina. It was Eric Collins, who is the voice of the Charlotte Hornets. Go, Andy. You can say it.
No, go ahead, say it.
No. He also from...
Play tight.
That's right.
Yeah. Play tight.
Well, he made a bit of an impression as he was doing these games. He's known for being, let's say the word boisterous. This is audio courtesy of Fox.
Play action. Tagovailoa has Waddle. He's open.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's our guy, Eric.
That was good.
I've never
heard him do a football call. He might be better at football than he is at basketball.
Wait a minute. You're judging a guy's ability on 7 seconds?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And there is a
litany. Jeff, a lot of things can be judged in 7 seconds.
That's what she said.
Rodeo.
Wow. Don't get fired,
wow,
Jeff.
Wow, Jeff. Can't believe you are the one that took it there. Yes.
There are a litany of calls all over the place of Eric Collins going absolutely nuts as he was sitting next to Mark Schlereth, who you could tell wanted to do absolutely nothing but talk about actual on-the-field football, while Eric Collins was just going absolutely berserk. Do we like this? Do we need another Gus Johnson in the NFL?
I don't know, but can you play it again?
Sure.
I thought it was...
Again, audio courtesy of Fox.
Play action! Tagovailoa has Waddle! He's open!
That's good. I feel the energy. I think it's good. Well done.
Should I drop my play-by-play line?
Here we go.
Follow your heart, buddy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I tend to never say anything about a person calling play-by-play. And it's for this reason. I equate play-by-play people to pizza. There are a lot of different ways to do it, and everybody likes something a little different. Play-by-play is like pizza.
All right, I'll agree with that.
A lot of different ways to do it.
I think from a fan's perspective, you love a play-by-play person based on a couple of things. One, if your team is doing well, it's really easy to like your play-by-play person. It's very easy.
Without question. And if your play-by-play person has been in place for 20 or 25 years, it becomes the soundtrack of summer or winter or whatever, and you love that person.
And the other thing is if your play-by-play person has been there long enough and they cannot be touched, you absolutely love them because they tell you the truth. And they know what's going on, and if you just listen careful, you will know everything that's going on. And I'll say it right here. That is what makes Hammy not only great by the way he calls a game, but what he's telling you if you're listening, especially later in the game. Like when he's frustrated, I get frustrated because I know exactly where he's kind of going with it. It's what makes Hammy great.
Well, moving on to our list of great play-by-play calls, we'll go to the...
By the way, credit to teams for allowing that to happen because many, many, many don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that will... I mean, think about that. We've been blessed in our lifetime to have Hammy and Joe Tate. Joe Tate held nothing back in the end. Nothing. Zero.
And both of them were absolutely outstanding as well.
Hammy still is.
Yes. Moving on to other great play-by-play moments that took place. The Sunday night football game between the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. NBC, Josh Allen threw one out of the back of the end zone, and a good time was had by all.
Josh turns. And throw it away. His catch there. He's gone. Milano. Milano's going to go. He's in row 10. He's in row 15. He might get a beer. Milano, where are you going, man? It's your moment. Milano, row 40, led by Allen. He's going to take it the distance. Maybe it wasn't his seat. Maybe he doesn't want to be on TV. He's gone.
Mike Tirico was bored at the moment.
Yeah, they threw a ball. A fan caught a ball in the stands, and he just immediately turned around and hightailed it out of the park.
Yeah. I couldn't tell, though. Did he have the ball with him?
He did.
He did.
Have the ball with him.
I'm sorry. It's a football.
Remember, I mean, the AFL, remember, you used to, if you caught it, you kept it. I don't know. Is that true in the NFL?
I don't think so.
I don't
so.
Believe that's the case.
I don't believe that is the case.
Hence you can only have a certain number of balls that you travel.
You know, you can go buy those. They're not that expensive.
Yeah, but those haven't
had. I mean, come on,
Josh Allen sling it.
I'm sure you'd be drooling
on yourself if Josh Allen slung something you owned.
I think it's awesome he had his name on the back of his jersey.
Well, that's the best way to go about it, too. All right, moving along the way on great calls and weird moments. Audio courtesy of CBS, the Tennessee Titans-Arizona Cardinal game got weird at the end, and this by far was the weirdest, courtesy of Spiro Dinas and CBS.
Ward goes through his progressions. Everyone covered, slings it back. It's deflected and picked. Taylor Demerson, and then the football came out. Who recovers? Tennessee for the touchdown in a crazy sequence. Tyler Lockett, the recovery, unreal.
That game got away from the old Cardinals.
That it did. And if you did not get a chance, you can find that all over social media pages. That was one of the weirder plays you will see in a long time. Caught, fumbled, then picked up or intercepted, then fumbled, picked up by the other team for a touchdown.
What? Yeah. Yeah. That was not good.
It was an all-timer. All right, we will keep moving along. So the Toronto Blue Jays took on the New York Yankees over the weekend. A big moment in there on Sunday was this, courtesy of Blue Jays Radio Network, Vlad Guerrero Jr. at the dish.
Swing and a deep drive. Left field. That ball is soaring out of here. A grand slam. Pinch yourself all you want. You will not wake up from this dream right now. The Blue Jays lead 9-0 on a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. grand slam.
They ended up winning the game in the tail end of it all, but it got a little interesting toward the end. But that's not the fun part of this, because, of course, we are in Toronto. Therefore, we are in Canada, which means two different languages are at the helm. And if you're thinking to yourself, did Jeff Thomas get that for you in French? You bet your tush.
Vladimir Guerrero.
courtesy of TVA Blue Jay Sports.
So did you, do you have another Blue Jays thing or no?
No, this is about where I was going to leave it.
Okay, so there's one other thing with the Blue Jays. So Sportsnet had their games, right? And they did this postseason thing. Geddy Lee from Rush.
Yeah, he's been doing a book tour.
Yeah, well, he's doing a regular tour because they just announced 7 new dates.
Heck yeah.
And they'll have another drummer filling in for Neil. I forgot the woman's name.
She drummed for Jeff Beck, so yeah, she's outstanding. So,
but their last date is going to be here in Cleveland. They were at the Rock Hall last night. But Geddy did the open for Sportsnet for the Blue Jays, and as I caught it, it's really, really cool, man. If you're a Rush fan, you're digging. I just remember like when we would go there, he was there all the time. He has season tickets right behind home plate. So I just think it's awesome. I love that part of the game.
You love Geddy Lee.
I love Geddy Lee. No. That made me like the Blue Jays even more. I'll be honest. Let's not get, you know, his real name is Gary, right? You know that why they call him Geddy?
No.
Because his grandmother couldn't say Gary. So she's, Getty, come here. That's how he ended up, Geddy Lee. There you go. Aren't you smarter today?
Yeah, got
boom,
that
we're
for
done,
you.
Man. Show over. We're good.
Got that going for you, which is nice.
Fabulous.
So in college football as well, Clemson beat the snot out of UNC.
Oh, my.
Bill had a rough day at the office. 38-10 was there. And this clip is floating around. I hope you can hear it well enough. If not, I'll be able to, I can give you what she ends up saying. But they were talking to a student as she was walking out of the game. This audio is courtesy of ESPN.
That was one of the TCU is, I went to that game. And that was one of the saddest feelings I've had in university so far. And I've failed midterms before, so it's nice. Okay.
That was one of the saddest feelings I've had, and I failed midterms.
Uh-huh. One of the saddest feelings I've had, and I failed midterms.
I saw that, yeah. You know, now, can you expect Bill Belichick and our guy Mike Lombardi to go to North Carolina?
Yeah.
With Freddie Kitchens?
Yeah.
And immediately turn it around and, you know, be a 10-0 team or something like that?
No.
I don't either. I do think there's a little grace period here because it's a different beast. You know, you drafted players in the NFL. In college, you just pay them. You still got to go get them.
True. That's a good point. Why am I forgetting? Somebody else went down there with him.
Geddy Lee?
Mike Prefer went there. By the way, I said grandmother. I meant his mother used to call him that, not his grandmother.
Okay.
But Mike Prefer went too.
I knew we'd have a Geddy Lee segment in today's show at some point.
You did. You knew it was coming. Yep. But I mean,
he's got a book out. He signed it at the Negro League Hall of Fame. Oh, or nice. Museum, I should say. Yeah.
Don't you think it's weird that the winningest Browns playoff coach in this century is there too?
It's a good thing you put that there, or else I would have stopped the segment on the spot. The point of this is to enjoy something and smile instead of sitting there and wallowing in your bud.
Dan, I enjoyed it very much.
I enjoyed it too. Thank you.
We will try to do this every Monday.
But more
win or loss.
More wallowing next. Why might this be the beginning of a new era? And by the beginning of a new era, does that mean everybody gets a pass?
What? What are you talking about?
Well, I'll explain it next on Baskin and Phelps. Don't forget Kevin Stefanski's press conference at 1:30. We'll hear it here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.